In his first round of congressional hearings since becoming defense secretary, Carter has been telling members that the budget DOD submitted last month is the bare minimum it needs to execute the current defense strategy, and vowed that with or without sequestration, he would make sure military members are trained, ready, and have the right equipment.
But everything else is on the table, including parts of our budget that have long been considered inviolate.
Carter again urged Congress to let DOD follow through with the cost-saving measures it's proposed, including base closures, the retirement of weapon systems, and compensation changes. But in response to questioning from members who were concerned about DOD's level of spending on federal civilian personnel, he said he's with them.
I think we should go after excess wherever we find it in the department, and the civilian workforce, like the military personnel and strength, has to be something that we scrutinize and reduce.
And Carter says he thinks DOD can make meaningful cutbacks in its civilian personnel spending for several reasons.
The civilian workforce grew from about 700,000 to up towards 800,000 in the decades since 9/11. So about 100,000 people. That wasn't just random increase. These were specifically targeted things, which made a lot of sense, like cyber, like our acquisition workforce, like insourcing, if you remember insourcing, which was to bring jobs into the government specifically so that they weren't conducted by contractors, and so forth. And so for all these perfectly good reasons, 100,000 people were added. My problem with that is that 100,000 people weren't – nobody reached in to the existing force and said, well, let's add these people, but let's – meanwhile, see whether there aren't some jobs that can be eliminated and reduced. That didn't happen because there was lots of money throughout that decade. Now we need to change that dynamic.
Carter was responding to questions from Congressman Ken Calvert of California, whose proposed legislation that would require DOD to cut its civilian workforce by 15% over the next 6 years, cap its overall size at that level until 2026, and limit DOD's senior executive service to 1,000 personnel. It would also change DOD's reduction in force procedures to give more weight to job performance as opposed to tenure.
Since 2001, we've cut the active force by 4%. And we've grown the civilian workforce by 15%. Currently, the ratio of civilian employees to active duty personnel is at an all-time high, the highest since World War II. Bringing that ratio down to the historic norm, just the historic norm, would save the department $82.5 billion over 5 years. All these savings could be reinvested right back into the department to help alleviate the impact of the BCA. We've not hesitated to cut our active duty force, and cut it too far, in my opinion, but I cannot get a public concession out of anyone at DOD that we should have a proportional right-sizing of the civilian workforce.
DOD's budget proposal for 2016 does include some modest civilian reductions. It calls for a 0.4% cut, or about 2,000 positions, across the military services and agencies compared to 2015. A modest pay increase, though, would cancel out any savings from those cuts, so under the current proposal, the Pentagon would spend $600 million more on civilians compared to 2015. The budget, which was drawn up before Carter became secretary, notes that demand for some DOD jobs, like depot maintenance and some functions that are directly tied to the size of the active duty force, will decrease due to the drawdown from Afghanistan. But demand for others, in fields like cyber, shipbuilding, disability evaluation, and auditing, will be on the upswing. And Carter urged members to keep in mind that the vast majority of DOD's civilian workforce performs functions the department can't do without.
We tend in Washington to think of a civilian DOD employee as someone who sits in a desk in the Pentagon. 85% of our civilians don't live in the Washington metropolitan area. They fix airplanes. They're not sitting at desks. They're repairing ships and so forth. And so they perform essential functions. But where the headquarters staffs are concerned, both military and civilian, I think we can make cuts there, and we have to make cuts there. So I'm with you in that regard.
The Defense Department is already in the midst of reducing staffs in its headquarters. Last year, then-Secretary Chuck Hagel ordered the military services and defense agencies to find ways to reduce their personnel levels by 20% over 5 years. The Air Force has taken a particularly aggressive approach to the headquarters reductions, ordering them to be finished in 1 year instead of five. Because of that, Deborah Lee James, the Air Force Secretary, quibbled with Calvert's claim of ongoing workforce growth in a hearing last Friday and said her service alone has cut its headcount by 24,000 civilians and 30,000 contractors since 2012.
I think the downsizing on the military has gone far enough. So you heard me say we want to upsize that a bit. We are constantly scrutinizing our civilian workforce. We're going to continue to do so.
And General Mark Welsh, the Air Force Chief of Staff, said many of the remaining civilians work in functions that can't be reduced formulaically without mission impacts.
Our civilian workforce is just under 180,000. About 74,000 of those are mainstream Air Force mission area folks. They're doing maintenance on AETC flight lines. They're running financial management shops. They're running deep depots. And then there's a number of other people, the other 55% are covered by restrictions that we can't easily push aside. They're covered by working capital fund requirements. They're covered by being Air National Guard technicians. They're people that we just can't cut. Some of them take some pretty involved action, including some requiring action from the Congress. So we'll continue to work at where we can limit this growth.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.